Hello, everyone. I'm recording another podcast for my psychology students and for anyone else who's interested in psychology. Today's topic is circadian rhythm. This comes from the chapter called Consciousness in an Introduction to Psychology course, and it's related to our body clock or our biological rhythm. So this is the way it works, and you've often, well, let me back up a little bit. If you're working or have experienced these kinds of things, especially working the night shift, working in an office where you don't have windows and exposure to sunlight, or that you travel a lot and travel through many time zones, or you stay up late at night watching TV or staring at your mobile phone. This can all affect your natural biological cycle. I'm recording this out on our front porch, so there's going to be a lot of wind noise here and a train going by, and my daughter's feeding our two dogs over there in the garage area, so you can hear some noise from Taiwan, okay? This is where this podcast is being recorded. Anyhow, you may have read about that melatonin affects our sleep. Melatonin is a hormone, and to trace back what it does, when our eyes are exposed to light, so the photoreceptors within our visual system receives light signals. That light signal travels through the optic nerve to the suprachiasmatic nucleus, SCN. Thank goodness, I'll just call it SCN, which is located within our hypothalamus in the brain. And what this SCN does, it sets a timer for regulating our cycles, when we sleep and when we're awake. And it's very close to a 24-hour cycle, which coincides with our 24-hour day, right? It's very convenient. And so when the light signal travels all the way from our visual system into the SCN, it triggers the pineal gland to stop producing melatonin, okay? And melatonin is a hormone that makes us drowsy and helps us to sleep at night. So during the day, as a human being should be exposed to light, and it doesn't have to be natural light, it can be artificial light, like in a bright office, then that helps to regulate your 24-hour clock. So for myself, being jet-lagged, let me back up a little bit. So in the evening time, when the sun goes down, right, even though you are exposed to artificial light, it should be less light than during the daytime. And that's when your body will start to produce melatonin. So the pineal gland will start to produce the hormone, and that's what's going to make you drowsy. So between 1 a.m. and 3 p.m. is when the melatonin levels in our blood is the highest, and that's when we're the most drowsiest. So I remember when I traveled from Asia back to the U.S., it is around 3 to 4 p.m. in the afternoon, just a few days after getting back, that I just can't hang on anymore. I might be able to get through the morning, but then in the afternoon, I try not to be in a vehicle driving because it's just going to hit me like a sledgehammer and knock me out. And it's quite dangerous in terms of not being able to overcome that drowsiness while driving. Okay, so how to overcome jet lag, that's another side question, but I think you can use some common sense knowing how our cycle works now in terms of the exposure to daylight. So if you travel to a new destination and you have a huge difference in time zones, my recommendation would be to be awake as long as possible during the day. I know it sounds like common sense, but the reason is that you want to inhibit or prevent your melatonin from being produced to help you stay awake. As a coffee drinker, I try to drink more coffee during the day and a little bit later in the day than I normally would. But then it's going to hit me, and I'm going to start falling asleep around 6 p.m., 7 p.m., but at least I made it through the day. So when nighttime hits, then my melatonin, some people take a melatonin supplement in the evenings when they go to bed, and that could be helpful. I won't specifically recommend that. I don't think it's necessary unless you are desperately needing to overcome jet lag. But I think it's enough for the body to naturally produce melatonin to recover its sleep cycle. So, for example, right now, a week after returning to Taiwan from the U.S., I think my sleep cycle is pretty good. I can go to bed around 10 p.m. rather, and but that's as far as I can force myself to stay up. Yeah, then wake up around 4 to 5 to 6, between 4 and 5 right now. And I remember one time traveling from Asia back to the U.S. I kept that schedule, and I would just maintain that cycle of getting up at 4 and going to bed around 9:30 or 10, and I was extremely productive that particular year. And it helped me to finish my dissertation. It's amazing the kind of quality time you can do to get work done when everybody else is asleep, right? Which is why I think a lot of people stay up real late, is because it tends to be pretty tranquil at that time to be able to get work done. But then again, it affects our sleep cycle in a negative way, because oftentimes we have to get up early to get things done for the next day. So I hope that brief explanation of the circadian rhythm was helpful. So you heard various parts of the body and the brain that are related to this process. And why is it that we experience jet lag? Is because our sleep cycles are off, and our melatonin cycles are not regulated the way they should be. But give it a week and you'll be fine.